Hello everyone, welcome to J-Talk Extra Time. My name is Stuart Smith, and the next voice you'll hear is John Steele. John, how are you?
Very well, thanks, Stuart. How are you doing?
Not so bad at all, not so bad at all. You got enough toilet paper?
Yes, so far so good. You never know, and I don't really know how people get through so much of this stuff. I mean, I'm a big fan of the, you know, the washlet toilet, the electronic bidet, but I know some people are very, very proficient toilet paper users. But yeah, if anybody needs any, give me a shout. I'll see what I can do. What about yourself?
I'm
really expecting that thrown back at you.
No, I was not. I wasn't expecting that. I'm good, thank you, John. I'm good, thank you. We do have football to talk about, and we have potential football to talk about as well. But I don't think we can start this podcast without mentioning the fact that COVID-19 is kind of taking hold across the world, and the most recent kind of thing to come under its spell is the Tokyo Olympics. The Tokyo Olympics have been postponed until the summer of 2021. Just briefly, John, they didn't really have any choice, did they?
No, I think this there's been an air of a crushing inevitability about this decision, I think, for a couple of weeks, by sort of, I can't remember, the time seems to be standing still a little bit at the moment, news-wise, but I think there was, before the Olympics was officially cancelled, it was kind of like the only sort of international sporting event left on the calendar for this year, wasn't it? And yeah, sadly, it's now being postponed. Yeah, I think the IOC initially said we need a 4-week kind of consultation period to decide what to do, and but the decision came out sort of 24-48 hours after that. Yeah, it was just really an untenable situation. I think we should say that in the right decision. You know, I think Japan, for all the faults that we can talk about with the Olympic bid or even the way the Olympic Games is administered in general, I think nowadays they bid and they won the bid to host what I think Shinzo Abe has called a complete Olympics, or the Olympics in its complete form. And I think, you know, empty stadiums or the sort of even transport chaos that we're experiencing right now wouldn't have allowed that to happen. And I think Japanese, the Olympics is not my favourite mega event. You know, I'm more on a football tip like yourself, but, you know, people are really looking forward to seeing a proper, in inverted commas, Olympics here. And it wouldn't have been possible to do that this year, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. But on the horizon, John, slightly more, I don't know if it's blind positivity or just genuine positivity, the J-League has put forward a rescheduling plan. They've released dates when they believe they will be able to hold J-League games once again. This only came out yesterday, or I think it was summarized possibly today. So just to go through the real headline is that the J-League is scheduled to restart on the 25th of April with a slate of J3 games. The following week we'll see J2 restart, which is the 2nd of May. And J1 will start on the 9th of May, and that will be after the Japanese holiday season of Golden Week. I think the J-League don't want large numbers of fans crisscrossing the country during that time. It's a positive step, John, but what do we think? Do you think we're set for those dates, or is there a possibility that these dates can be like put further back? What do you think?
Take the second part of the question first. I think there's definitely a strong possibility that these dates won't be met and the postponements will continue, if only because the situation, and I'm talking in my metropolitan elite bubble to some extent, perhaps, the number of confirmed COVID-19 cases in Tokyo is creeping up at the moment. So I'm not sure, you know, that could have a big impact over the next couple of weeks. Yeah, I think the J-League has to announce these restart dates. That's kind of, I guess that's kind of the chairman's job or the executive board's job. And it is good to have something on the horizon too, even if it is a very optimistic thing to look forward to. And yeah, we might be sitting here in a month's time and we might be rounding up, you know, a slate of J3 games. I do hope that's the case, but I hope it's the case because the environmental conditions or the you know, personal safety is we're at a position where we can hold the game safely. I'm a bit concerned that the cart's being put before the horse here, and I'm just not sure if anyone can. I don't think anybody can go on TV now and say yes, by April the 25th it'll be safe to host events with even 20 people, you know, in the same place, never mind 2,000 or 3,000, which I'm sure some of these games will draw. But yeah, let's be optimistic, let's be positive. That's the plan at the moment, and we hope it's made. What do you think?
I'm not sure, to be quite frank. I think the idea of using J3 first, I kind of understand. They in the statement they said that J3 clubs would attract smaller attendances, and therefore it will be easier to gauge the problems and the pitfalls and how to actually host games. So I can see that I can see why they've done that. I genuinely don't know, because we don't know what it's going to be like next week, never mind 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks from now. So I think it's difficult to really kind of set down a firm plan. Really, it's difficult it's difficult to predict what's gonna, like I said, what's gonna happen next week. We don't know. Tokyo might have a soft lockdown. It might have a strong lockdown. We're just not sure.
Just to read a couple of choice lines from the kind of statement from Mitsuru Murai, which the English version was posted on the J League's official website today. So I'm reading from a translated version, and I don't think the English is a bit wonky here. Some of the translation is not correct. But one thing it says from the first point about matches, it says the J League aimed to resume on 3rd of April, but it will be postponed. One reason was considering preparations to safely welcome the spectators to the venues. Now, I mean, by the 25th of April, I'm not sure you can be sure that you can guarantee people to the stadium. Safely is very big. It shouldn't be, but in the current climate, you know, safely is a very important word. You know, I mean, we are both from the UK originally, Stuart, and in order, you can't safely go anywhere now at the moment, yeah. You know, because of the coronavirus. So there's also the line a bit later on, one reason that they're looking at the 25th of April is because they're trying to secure, that's their choice of word in the statement, is, you know, thermometer equipment, so they can check everybody's temperature coming into the stadium, and masks and disinfection, hand disinfectant for staff. You know, we expect to secure the thermometers by 18th of April. Now, expecting to secure something, again, in the current climate is not a shoo-in, is it? It's not a done deal. Especially when you consider if there is an explosion in coronavirus cases in Tokyo or even elsewhere, you can well imagine that those thermometers might be deployed somewhere where they're more urgently needed. So yeah, I think I think the J League's quite ballsy here by going out with specific dates and kind of specific explanations of why these dates have been chosen. But I think some of that language in this statement leads me to believe it's not set in, it's obviously not set in stone, but you know what I mean. There's very, very real potential for a further kind of delay here, especially if they do hold games on the 25th of April and something goes wrong, shall we say.
wronger than it already is. I think Murai's in a he's in a very difficult position. I think we said this loads of times before. Like, it's not a position that I would like to find myself in if I had his job. But I think he's trying to make the most of a bad situation, and at least there is kind of, he at least is showing his workings. Like, I want to start on this date because I expect to get the thermometers by this date, and I expect to be able to commandeer like X amount of disinfectant and that kind of thing. So I think the actual level of detail in the answer is actually quite encouraging, because they've obviously thought about it.
I totally support that. Transparency is lacking in general here at the moment. So yeah, it's kind of, I wish the Tokyo Metropolitan Government would have the same level of transparency as the J League when it comes to these numbers. Yeah,
if the league does get underway, there'll be no relegation this year, John. I don't know if you knew that. I don't know if that floats your boat.
Yeah, I know it, but I haven't quite processed it yet somehow.
I'm not a fan.
No.
Or not. if
you want to see other teams suffer, don't you?
If only we'd have been crap a year later, we'd have been fine. I don't know. It's not a decision that will please everybody, and I know that they have kind of a lot of interest to take into account, but my main beef with it is, if you have a season, and I don't know how long this season's going to be, but if you have a season where someone gets crowned champions and is worthy of being crowned champions, then I don't see any reason why a team at the bottom isn't worthy of being called not good enough for that league. That would be my only take about it.
I think it might just be as simple as coming down to prize money needing to be awarded. But I think from a sporting perspective, you're totally right. But I think we might have to, the financial imperative might take over, I think, for the rest of it. I don't know. Go on, I interrupted you. Go on, sorry, carry on.
No. That was the sum of what I was going to say. I was just going to say that at some clubs they'll be given a mulligan this year. Some teams will be given a free pass. As far as I know, there'll be no J2 playoffs, so that's another team that isn't kind of going to be able to go up. I mean, it will, and I listened to Dan and Ben and Sam speak about this on the other pod, and it will be chaos, and I think J2 will be a good chaos, because you'll have these teams fighting for only the two automatic promotion spots, and it'll be like Darwinism on the highest possible level on a football scale. But yeah, if you're gonna give a champions trophy, and if you're gonna give places to the Asian Champions League or whatever, I think there should be relegation as well. Just my point of view. I'm usually wrong about a lot of things, and I'll probably be wrong about this, but yeah, I think there should be relegation. But I can see why there's not.
Yeah, I think the points that you're making are valid, but I think I used to, in another life, when I'd sort of be chatting more about international football with friends, and you know, we'd sort of be talking about the World Cup and how teams qualify, for example, and you'd kind of end up, the conclusion we'd always end up at is, well, it's kind of, they're trying to get a balance between sort of sporting excellence being rewarded, but money being made. Like, the main goal of the Olympics is to make money. I really admire anybody who thinks differently and wants to argue that. But the goal of like mega events like the Olympics and the FIFA World Cup is to make money. I mean, the J League is obviously not the biggest money making operation that comes to mind. But I think that for this season, I actually agree with you about relegation, but I think we also agree that just for 2020, we're just going to have to grin and bear a few sort of odd I mean, I think I can. We're probably heading towards an uneven number of home and away matches, aren't we, as well, for some teams?
I think that's definitely a possibility.
Yeah, so we're going to have to sort of. I can remember it's not. This season, or season in inverted commas, we don't know how long it's actually going to go for. It's going to go down in history anyway. But yeah, I've seen that, you know, when the J2 started back in the day, it was a weird. I think there was one. There were a few seasons where it was triple round robin.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Team played home and away, but then they played one more time either home or away. So you get a league table with, like, there's one season where I think teams were like 54 times, right?
Yeah, I think the first season I watched Gifu, they played 51 times in the season.
Yeah, and I think my Japanese, that was sort of before the Twitterverse and the podcast. So I think I was just staring at the table and was like, I can't make head nor tail of this. There's 12 teams, but they've all played 400, they've all played each other 33 times. It was like looked more like a baseball, or a cricket, you know, table than a football one. So, yeah, the J League in particular is no stranger to wackiness, and that's not to treat the current. I'm not trying to sort of make light of the current situation, because a lot of these things that we're discussing have been forced on the J League and forced on society in general by the coronavirus, really. But yeah, I totally agree. I think the logic is if there's promotion, there must be relegation. I think from a sporting or even moral point of view, that stands up. But I think we're just gonna have to look at the must be financial considerations at play, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, it's gonna be a free for all in J2, really, and like it just will be. And it'll be exciting to watch. I mean, I think I remember reading the threshold is 75% of games completed to have a like a viable result. I think in J3 yes. That's not going to be a problem. I think I did some minor mathematics by looking at my calendar the other day, especially now that the Olympics is not on the board. J2 is going to have an issue if they as long as they start on May 2nd, I think they'll be fine. But any further delays to the season, and it's going to be quite difficult for them to get to that 75% games played mark. And and like we said before, we've got typhoon season coming. Like if one team does play 75% of games, but say Tokushima miss a game because their game against Ehime got typhooned off. I mean, we're going into the weeds now. We don't need to go down there. But
yeah, I think one reason why you were asking me about the sort of no relegation rule, and one reason why I haven't sort of sat down and formulated my own opinion is I'm kind of waiting for the season to actually restart and to look like it's going to happen. Because obviously at the moment, it's actually quite difficult to visualise the season, you know, a switch being flipped and the season just carrying on from early May. If only because, you know, as I've mentioned already, and I want to be positive, but there's no point sort of burying their heads in the sand. I think the number of coronavirus cases in Tokyo is going up, and I think we might be heading towards a wave of cases. And I think then, you know, holding games in the sort of Tokyo metropolitan area is going to be difficult. I mean, just as case in point, if the J1 comes back on May the 9th, I think May the 10th Sunday is the Yokohama Derby at Nissan. So, okay, you're gonna ask away fans to refrain from attending, but it's the same city. I mean, is it a good idea to have potentially 40,000 people? You know, and they're talking about. I know in the notes that we're reading that people are going to be separated. Only 50% of the stadium capacity is going to be used. People are going to be separated, you know, one seat, one empty seat between them. But as we've seen, that's not going to stop people queuing to get into the ground, queuing to use the toilet. You know, I mean, I think any I'm not a public health expert or a virologist. I'm just a balding, overweight foreigner. Opinion's not with us. But I would think any infectious disease specialist could look at that and be like, no, that's a really bad idea.
I think one of the things that I don't know if it mentions in the notes itself, but something that the great Sean Carroll mentioned is that there's a quote in it, and it says, if the government or any administration request a voluntary restraint, we will follow the request and be flexible in deciding to play the game without spectators or change the schedule. That has a couple of layers, because a lot of team stadiums are actually owned by the local municipalities. Like FC Gifu's, for instance, is Gifu don't own their stadium. It's owned by the city, with stakeholders from the prefecture in as well. And so there'll be that kind of level to deal with. But also, yeah, I think mayors and representatives of certain cities are having to, I don't know how it's going to work out. I think Tokyo might even be the guinea pig for this, like a sort of, what did they call it last night, a soft lockdown? Is that what Koike Yuriko said?
I'm not sure if that's what I didn't watch the press conference. I'm not sure that's what she said, but that is the phrase that's come up in a lot of English language media.
Yeah, I think I think it was, I think that soft lockdown is a summary of what she said. It was a series of requests, I think.
Governors here don't have the power like they're doing it in America, for example, to kind of order a sort of martial law type, you know, shelter in place lockdown. So they can only ask people to refrain from doing these things. So I think that might be why the language has been softer.
But what I also think is that if, say, governors or administrators are at a point where they're saying universities are still postponed until May, I think, and then we're going to ask you to start doing whatever, social distancing, or we're going to ask you to only go to the supermarkets on even numbered days or whatever, I think holding a football match is going to be a little bit of a hard sell. Maybe not holding a football match. Holding a football match in front of spectators will be a hard sell. Like Kobe, what's their capacity? 26,000. So you're only going to have 13,000 people there. Yokohama, yeah. I mean, Jesus, Mitsuzawa is going to be, what, 7,000 people there on a game day? I mean, don't know how many season tickets they sold, but I would suggest it's probably more than 7,000 on their return to the on their return to J1. I mean, the basic thing, the basic premise is that all these problems or potential problems are going to come if the football comes back. And yeah, if football comes back, then we'll have to cross those bridges when we come to it, right? But it's not an easy road to travel, this particular road.
Yes, I think I can imagine what's probably happening is the J League, and we should mention as well, they're working on in conjunction with the Japan's professional baseball league, Nippon Pro Baseball. Okay, so, but I'm sure that the advice is when they sit down at the table with experts, is that the experts are like, do not do this.
Yeah.
This is a bad idea. And then the J League is like, how can we hear you, but how can we mitigate, how can we turn no to yes kind of thing. So for example, you mentioned, you know, the soft lockdown in Tokyo, Kanagawa and Saitama this weekend, where people are being asked to basically just refrain from going outside for Saturday and Sunday. A lot of big department stores are going to be closed, you know, aquariums, stuff going to be closed. I'm not sure how regular that's going to be, if that's going to extend, but I mean, We should mention the K1 kickboxing event that was held last weekend in Saitama at the Super Arena, which is kind of a big indoor gymnasium, and 6,500 people attended that, and the organizers got a lot of heat on social media for kind of forcing that event to go ahead. Even the governor of Saitama Prefecture had asked them not to. But again, because the way that the legal system works, they didn't have any powers to kind of forbid it or ban it. I don't think so. I mean, yeah, it's just I guess for me, in my mind's eye, it's just difficult to envision on the 25th of April how many eight professional football matches take place with fans in the stadium. I really hope that there is that I'm wrong and that it does go ahead and everything's fine. But we've just spent how long? We just spent 25 minutes talking about logistics, and I don't think we've even scratched. Don't worry, I think listeners, we are going to move on soon, but we've barely scratched the surface of it. It must be a logistical nightmare, and that there must have been. I'm sure there's been at least one meeting where someone's put their hand up and said, "Shall we just say it's off for this year? We'll come back." You know, because it just not in a defeatist way, but in the way of, like you're saying, well, we can't guarantee the games will restart. We can't guarantee that when they restart, they'll be played continuously. We can't guarantee that there won't be any other fixture problems with natural disasters or, you know, typhoons, earthquakes and the like. So, I think Mirai is showing leadership here, which is good. And I think there's another line in this document about reviewing the situation every 2 weeks, right? Which is sensible. You know, they're not mindlessly working towards this April the 25th date, come what may. We'll see. I mean, I hope that I want the football to be back. I want the J League back, but I want in the same vein as the Olympics, I want the J League in as complete a form as possible. But if there's games on the 25th of April, I'm going to be really tempted to go, obviously, and I'm not sure if that's wise at this moment in time.
There have been games, though, haven't there, John? There've been some big games, training games. Any game is a big game at the moment, and so... Where should we start? I'll tell you where we will start. We'll start with Jubilo Iwata drawing 1-1 with Asul Claro Numazu. Oh, no, sorry. In their first game, they drew 1-1. Apparently, they played twice, and I missed the second one, in which Jubilo won 3-1. Lulini are scoring a couple. Well, there you go. I didn't know that. So, Jubilo... Of course, Jubilo and Numazu are... not that far away. They're both in Shizuoka Prefecture. They're not neighbours by any stretch, but it's not too far to go and go between those two places. Also in Shizuoka, Shimizu S-Pulse drew 0-0 with Fujieda MyFC. A 0-0 in a training match. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, I can't even. Mm. I don't know if there's ever been a training match that's finished 0-0. I mean, I don't know what the deal is there. And I'm looking.
They should be forced to keep playing until there's a goal, in my opinion.
Well, I'm looking at it on the S-Pulse site, and it's just got a very bare bones match report with 87 likes on Facebook. I mean, wow! Imagine that. But yeah, a couple of. I did notice that ex-FC Gifu midfielder Kota Miyamoto played in defence for Shimizu S-Pulse, and Chong Teisei made an appearance as well. Aside from taking a break from his main business as a kimchi salesman, he's got his own brand of kimchi, right? I think Dan Olovitz
I'm glad you qualified that statement. I was like, oh no, where's he going?
we'll move on. But I think Dan Olovitz.
K-League United boys.
Enough. But I think Dan Olovitz did get his hands on some Chong Teisei kimchi. Hopefully he didn't panic by it and left some for the rest of us. But it wasn't all boring 0-0 draws in training games, was it, John?
It wasn't, and I think we have to say the much maligned, especially by me, DAZN service came correct, and they produced a pretty slick live broadcast of the training match between Kashima Antlers and Consadole Sapporo at Kashima Soccer Stadium. So they had, you know, studio guests and pitch side reporter and pre and post match interviews and everything. And yeah, it was a pretty exciting, in the context of what we've been experiencing, it was great to just see a game of football, albeit a training game. Yeah, exciting stuff. Kashima were 1-0 up, they were 2-1 up, but they ended up losing 4-2 to Sapporo, and that was because our good friend, our compatriot Jay Bothroyd came off the bench and plundered two late goals to turn the game in Sapporo's favour. Did you watch it, Stuart?
It was on Saturday, right?
Saturday, 11 a.m. Yeah, 11 a.m. kickoff. Yeah,
I was. I want to say something glamorous, but actually, I was working at that point. Mm. I still have to go to work.
Training games for you.
No, well, there are some training games for me, which we'll come on to a little bit later. But so Sapporo won 4-2.
Yes, yeah, and I think again we do have to be careful because we're talking about a training match, and I think the first match in a while for these two teams. But again, there was a kind of fragility or a shakiness to Kashima, which I do think if/when league play resumes, I think that Zago will find himself under pressure, because I think we've gone through a few iterations of saying, well, they only lost the first, you know, they lost the Champions League qualifier, no big deal, Zago will be feeling pressure a little, you know, and then, oh, they lost this game, so feeling pressure a little, and again, the performance wasn't the Kashima that we know. And I've been rewatching a lot of old J League Championship games because they've been put up on the official J League YouTube channel, haven't they, recently? Not full games, but kind of 10 minutes highlights package.
Yeah.
And so the Kashima of old is not they're not very Kashima-esque just at the moment. So it's very interesting. And yeah, Sapporo scoring some good goals and playing some entertaining football. If Masashi Suzuki could kick the ball where he wanted to, he might have a chance of playing in one of Europe's top five leagues. But as it is, we've got him, and it's magic, because you just never know what's going to happen when he gets the ball.
Do you think Kashima's defensive fragility is comparable to Yokohama Sports and Culture Club's defensive fragility in their last training match?
Well, it's interesting. I'm not sure how long. One funny thing about the J League, or about Japanese teams, we should mention is that they often, training matches are not always two halves of 45 minutes, are they? Sometimes it's
not a game of two halves.
40 minute. Yeah, sometimes it's like 3 40 minute halves, and then the players like completely change at some point midway through. So sometimes you see a scoreline that makes you sit up and take notice, but then when you click the link, you realize, oh, they played 4 45 minute halves. That's why it was like 7-5 or whatever. But yeah, I'm not sure if YSCC have that excuse this time.
I just want to check that, because yeah, we shouldn't unfairly malign the Sports and Culture Club before we. It was thirds. There you go.
Thirds. Okay.
So if it was two halves, it would have finished 9-1.
But instead, yeah, it doesn't sound that much better.
No, instead they tacked on an extra third, and it ended up as the it finished 13-1, which, I mean, ordinarily it's a crazy scoreline, but we've been there before, John, so boring. Nothing boring. Boring 13-1 wins, Jesus Christ.
It got like a gif of Ilunga just like yawning.
Yeah, no one scored 8 goals, apparently. From what
do you think after the second game, it was 9-1, they were like, lads, are you sure you want another? Do you really want another 45 minutes of punishment?
Well, The thing is that I'm looking at the score. I'm looking at the internet. The what do you call it? The score sheet.
Yeah.
And at the end of the second half, Yokohama scored in the on the official website they've put that Yokohama scored in the 46th minute of the second half, and I just think, come on, there's no. It was already 8-1 at the time. So you don't need to score in injury time of a practice game. And then after that, they had another 45 minutes. You must have been like, what are you doing?
We've all got that one friend who's like, just one more drink. And you're like, no, time to go home now.
Yokohama F. Marinos, come on. Show a bit of love to your local neighbours.
We might be the same generation. We are the same generation, Stuart. Where for non UK based or listeners, it used to be that pubs bars would always close at 11 PM.
Yes.
And a couple of my friends when that changed and bars could be open until 12:01, I had to try and explain to them, you don't have to drink. The law is that the pub is open now. The law isn't that you have to stay there for the full extra 2 hours and drink. That's how I feel about a third portion of a training match when it's already not. So you've had a good night.
Let's call it a night.
Yeah.
one training game that did go old school by having 2 45 minute halves was Gifu's training game at Nagoya. These two clubs often play each other in pre-season. It's been behind closed doors the last couple of years, or last 2 or 3 years, I think. I know Stipe Plazibat got into a bit of trouble because he tweeted out the scoreline when it was supposed to be a private training game back when he was doing his thing for Gifu. But this was streamed live to fan club members for Gifu and Nagoya. I ended up watching it on replay. Nagoya won 3-1. They put out a really strong side, actually. Their goal scorers were Gabriel Xavier, Naoki Maeda, and Yuki Soma. It was 1-1 at halftime, though, and Hiroyuki Takasaki scored a beautiful volley. Really, really kind of one of those classy little side foot volleys into the top corner from a Kawanishi cross. And it looked like a good run out for both teams, actually. Obviously, Nagoya have gone and brought in Mu Kanazaki yesterday. Whenever it was, and so maybe Ficadenti saw something he didn't like from Nagoya strikers against Gifu, but it was a good run out for Gifu as well. They've been itching to play. I know they've been streaming the actual training as well, so you can, if you've got a spare 2 or 3 hours in the morning, some people
I feel like this will backfire when the season does get underway again.
Well, you know. Well, like we said before, they, when it comes to the set piece moves or kind of thing, they just point the camera to the sky, and just people can just look at the clouds go by, and it's kind of like, what do you call it? It's just a calming influence. They get the bird song and the clouds drifting by, and then no one knows any of the better of Gifu's kind of set piece terminology and things like that. So there has been some football, has been some streamed football, and I'm sure there's more coming up, right, John? Sorry to put you on the spot.
I think again, DAZN is doing their best, I guess, to fill the void. We're going to have, as it stands, as we're recording, two more training games on a J League accent this weekend. So in the Saturday at 11 AM, there's a Shizuoka derby between Shimizu S-Pulse and Jubilo Iwata to watch. And then if you're still keen, at 2 PM, I think it's Nagoya against Yokohama FC is another live training game that they're going to show. So there will be some live football to enjoy on Saturday. I think this is good because, as I mentioned, for the kind of metropolitan area, Tokyo, Saitama, Kanagawa, we're asked to, you know, refrain from going outside as much as possible this weekend. So having a couple of games to watch on TV you know, I've got to be honest, I'm not a big fan of leaving the house at the best of times, but you do have to sometimes. This will definitely help to keep me and the family indoors, I think. I want to mention as well, just briefly touched on it, but yeah, the J-League's official YouTube channel's been doing a good service, kind of showing every day they upload a different kind of highlights reel from one of the historical championship, you know, J-League championship finals. So yesterday I watched 10 minutes of Verdy Kawasaki against Kashima Antlers, I think from 1996. So this was when Verdy still played at Todoroki, which was a bit of a trip. And yeah, they beat Kashima 5-0 on the day, but Kashima, I think, still won the league on goal difference or something, or the results went their way, so it was weird. Yeah, so I don't know if you've been watching those, Stuart, but it's been pretty good.
Yeah, I watched the, the Jeff United FC Tokyo thing that I didn't know anything about until you told me on the pod the other.
The Great Escape, yeah.
And mental, so, yeah. So I've been watching that, and yeah, I've been trying to keep up with all the highlights. I mean, I'm still working, but I do have a bit of free time to go through YouTube. It's a wormhole though, YouTube, because algorithms, you click onto something and yeah.
Do you think when football does come back, and it, of course it, we let's end on a positive note, we know that we will get through collectively. I mean, it doesn't seem to be that bad in Japan, but I know globally it's a huge, coronavirus is causing huge disruption, anxiety for a lot of people. I think we will get to the side and football will come back. Do you think there'll be any kind of massive, will we? I read, you know, Max Rushton did a piece for The Guardian. He was saying, I'll never complain again when the Super Sunday game in the Premier League is only Everton versus Burnley or something, you know, because he's missed football so much. Do you think fans might be a bit more, or players, you know, think there'll be, it's going to be weird when football comes back. I think that's what I'm driving at. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's weird now that we have no football, but it's also going to be weird at first when there's like, when football's sort of popping off everywhere again. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it will be slightly weird. And I think that initially people will be kind of a bit more, what's the word, kind of forgiving or a bit more flexible about football. They'll understand, and they've had it now. So it's like have you ever had an injury where you've had to have like your part of the body in plaster?
Yes.
Like, you know, when you're immobilized and you can't, because like I've broken my hand, like my thumb, my ankle, my foot, and when you're immobilized and you can't use that part of your body, it makes you think, oh right, like what, when I broke my foot, like actually getting upstairs was really difficult, and I thought, oh, like that's kind of, I didn't realize like how important my foot was for getting upstairs. And it's not until something's been taken away from you, you probably appreciate it a little bit more. I think it won't take long for football fans to turn into complete morons again. But I think that
one bad VAR decision.
Yeah, but there'll be that slight honeymoon period where, like, things are all rosy in the garden, and things are, that people will just be happy to whatever. They'll just be happy to see football. And what I think might happen is, I think football goers to the stadiums, at least football goers, might become a bit more socially aware. And I think what you might find is that there's a wave of kind of community spirit. So you might find things like collections for in the UK, collections for NHS workers, or collections for food banks, or donations for food banks. Now, I know a lot of a lot of teams do that anyway. I know Everton are one of the best in the country for mobilizing their community support. I know Newcastle do a lot of, they take food donations from away supporters before each game. Grimsby Town do a lot of great work in the community with the regarding homeless and raising awareness of their plight. I think football fans will still be like I said morons when it comes to cheering their team or slagging off VAR or whatever, but I hope that they'll become a little bit more socially aware and that there are things that people need in the country and that they'll be able to kind of like band together and donate to or work for. And I think that will happen. I believe that will happen.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I think, this is something that we've touched on in the past about sort of like racist incidents at stadiums and things. And the point I always want to make, and I've probably bored the listeners making it more than once, it's like, for some people, there's a disconnect between the stadium and the rest of the society, as if the people that fill the stadium aren't the same people that go out and work from Monday to Friday or live next door to each other. And, there's this idea of, like, oh, well, racism problems in the stadium, it's like a football problem. And it's not. It's a societal problem. And I think this issue that we've had, and I think we're sort of speaking more about the UK, I think, than Japan here, but kind of, the taking frontline workers for granted or underpaying them is something which has been going on for too long. That's the sort of thing that football has the power to change as well. Like you mentioned, food banks, like nurses shouldn't be going to food banks, for example. Getting political now, I should probably wrap it.
Yeah.
When does Labour leadership election?
You wanted to end on a positive, but then your final word was nurses.
Yeah. Pay them properly on the beaches.
nurses shouldn't go to food banks.
I think my point is I always come at this from the football supporters' point of view of like, well, we are members of society. I've always wanted like wider society to recognise football fans as being normal, if you like. I've experienced terrible treatment by the police, for example, at games. Yes. just because I was a football supporter at a football match. I hadn't done anything wrong. But I think it might be probably time for clubs and individuals to go the other way and kind of prove or demonstrate that they're part of the community by, like you said, doing more, being more community minded. There's various ways that could be done. But yeah, it would be nice to see. I think something the J League does really well, isn't it, is have the club as being something that's part of the community.
Yes, yes.
And I think the big bucks of the Champions League and the Premier League means that's not gone away, but it's not at the forefront like it should be, maybe sometimes.
If there's a good thing to potentially come out of this, then a bit more social responsibility or a bit more recognition.
You nearly said socialism, Stuart.
I nearly said social mobility as well.
The big picture is please bring back the J League, because otherwise I'm going to start doing a politics podcast.
bring back the J League or John and Stuart get political, and you don't want that. John Stewart getting political, I'd like that, but not John and Stuart. So.
And we just agree with each other, but increasingly angrily until it gets to an hour and then it stops.
Talking about getting to an hour and then it stops. We've managed to go over 50 minutes without, although we did have football to talk about, so that's all right. We'll get a pass for that. Jonah, I assume that we'll reconvene at this juncture next week with more football to review and potentially more clarity or even potentially less clarity on what's going to happen. But yeah, we'll speak again next week, won't we?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, hopefully we can do a deep dive on these training games on DAZN. And hopefully, fingers crossed, that the news about coronavirus and football and everything else is a bit more positive. But yeah, I hope anyone who's going through a tough time out there, yeah, hang in there. And I'm not sure. We're not, the light's not quite at the end of the tunnel yet. We're still in the tunnel, but I think... Football will, normality will come back. So we're just in a holding pattern in the meantime.
Yes, we are. Yeah, and if anyone who is listening to this wants to like drop either of us a line, like drop us a tweet or whatever, like more than happy for people to ask us questions, or people who just want to reach out to someone and just speak to someone. Like I'm always available on my Twitter handle, which is @sushi_football. John's is @j2cantobites. And so like all the listeners, it's difficult to make generalizations, but just by the sheer numbers of listeners, there'll be some people who are not having a great time of it now, but hopefully this podcast brings a little bit of kind of light relief, even if it's only just for 53 minutes, which is what I'm looking at now. I'd also like to kind of extend thanks to the patrons who make this happen. If you want to consider donating or helping us with the Patreon, there's a link at the top of my Twitter feed, probably John's as well, and definitely Ben's. So have a click on that. But until the next time that we meet and speak, we hope everybody stays safe, stays calm, and hope everybody starts to get better soon. But until then, we'll speak to you next week, and goodbye for now.